What's up? It's Locked On Vikings Thursday edition, game day edition on the Locked On Podcast Network. My name's Sam Ekstrom, at Sam Ekstrom on Twitter. Minnesota Vikings writer for Cumulus Media and their Cold Omaha writing group, at Cold Omaha MN on Twitter. Great to be with you today. We had Sage Rosenfels in on Monday and Wednesday. If you missed that, go back and podcast it via Audio Boom or Cold Omaha or iTunes, a plethora of places to listen to this daily Vikings briefing. Subscribe to the podcast, leave a rating, all that good stuff. The Locked On Podcast Network is growing. And today's public service announcement, we are now up to 25 NBA shows and 23 NFL shows. The lineup is almost complete. New to the roster, we'd like to welcome Travis Rogers for Locked On Rams and Terry McCormick along with Greg Arias for Locked On Titans. We want to be listening to Locked On Titans very closely if you're a Vikings fan. The week one opponent who just traded Doriel Green Beckham. Very controversial. We mentioned that today is Vikings game day edition. And it's not the last Thursday game day edition we'll have this season. Vikings play on Thursday during Thanksgiving on November 24th. And then the week after against Dallas at home on December 1st. Vikings have a lot of peculiar days to play this year. They've got several Mondays, obviously. They have some Thursdays. They have a Saturday game on Christmas Eve, I believe. Today, it's Thursday. Preseason game number 2, a 9 p.m. Central start against the Seattle Seahawks. But before we get to that, a former Vikings quarterback has found a new home. Christian Ponder, the newest member of the San Francisco 49ers, taking over for Thad Lewis, who suffered a season-ending knee injury. Ponder is behind Blaine Gabbert, his 2011 draft brethren, and Colin Kaepernick, of all people, who apparently is suffering from dead arm in the preseason. Maybe Chip Kelly's been working him too hard. He's been known to do that. Or maybe Colin just threw his arm out after 4 years of firing bullets in San Francisco. What a deterioration to his career after signing a deal. But that's probably more for Locked On Niners, which is another new show on the Locked On Podcast Network. Christian Ponder now on the team. I got to say, if I were Christian Ponder, and I'm not, but if I were Christian Ponder and I had an inside connection at ESPN, his wife Sam, and if I was a former quarterback who was cerebral, who had enough name recognizability and some dashing good looks, I would have been pursuing a steady, stable ESPN career a year ago. I would rather have done that than in nomad-like fashion roam around the country and make, in NFL standards, a modest six-figure salary when I could do the exact same thing on a more permanent basis at ESPN. Now, maybe that's still in the plans, but Christian Ponder's probably not going to be a starting quarterback again, and he's probably not going to be a backup quarterback again. He is in all likelihood a third-string quarterback. The veteran's minimum is around $600,000 in the NFL. That's pretty good money for not doing anything except working with the scout team. But at some point, don't you have to do something new? Thanks to Donovan McNabb, or rather, no thanks to Donovan McNabb, Christian Ponder was forced to start as a rookie. And unfortunately for him, he was ill-prepared, and he never was able to rehabilitate his stock in the NFL. The best gig is when you can sit behind a credible quarterback and just go on cruise control for 2-3 years. And once you get close to that contract renewal, look at what Brock Osweiler cashed in just for being the Peyton Manning understudy and essentially playing 6 to 8 games. Look at what he cashed in. Not bad. Christian Ponder never had that luxury. He was behind the eight ball from day one. Maybe he never would have made it, but he definitely wasn't put in a position to succeed. And now, if it were me, I would just pursue something different. But it's tough to let a dream die, that's for sure. We hope he does well in San Francisco. Certainly no ill will toward Christian Ponder. I want what's best for the guy. Hey, he led the Vikings to one very unexpected playoff appearance. And one last thing. It's not like the Vikings had an embarrassment of riches in Christian Ponder's tenure. He was asked to be a franchise resurrector post-Favre with a roster that required turnover, was too old, was weak defensively, particularly in the secondary, and lacked the offensive weapons besides Adrian Peterson. So that's all I've got on Ponder. Let's talk some Vikings. Not much new news coming out of Viking circles, mainly because they didn't practice yesterday. They were traveling to Seattle, and today they prepare for preseason game number 2. Mike Zimmer seeking his elusive 10th preseason win, trying to become 10-1 in preseason games. It does seem like Mike Zimmer values the preseason. Whenever he addresses the media after a preseason game, he always talks about the outcome.
Every time we go out, we want to win. And you know, it was good to be able to win the ball game.
Glad we won the game. We did enough good things to win. We got the job done at the end. Even though he's referring to third-string guys who aren't going to make the team, he likes to see what they can do in crunch time. Let me put forward a suggestion, though, on how to improve the preseason. I talked about this on another show yesterday, and the idea has kind of grown on me now that I've hatched it. Why does the NFL have this tradition that the first stringers have to start the game? And I have the same beef with the All-Star game in Major League Baseball. Why not reserve the best talent for crunch time? Start with the third stringers right away. Build your way up to the second stringers in quarter two. And then coming out of halftime, when the best part of the game is still in front of you, have the starters show what they can do down the stretch. Give them some situational football. You're down by a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Let's go tie the game. What can they do in the face of urgency? Not only would it, I think, be beneficial, it'd improve ratings for sure. It's like in the Olympics. You'll watch a few heats of runners or swimmers you don't care about. If you know that something's coming up, if you know Michael Phelps is a half an hour away, you're going to stay on the channel. You're going to keep watching. Why not play the starters in the second half? The way it is now, unless you are employed as a Minnesota Vikings journalist, which I am, then the incentive to watch the second half is almost non-existent. It's really tough to care about the outcome of a preseason game. That's why the Bengals went for 2 late in the fourth quarter in Friday's game. They didn't care if they won or lost. They just wanted a decisive ending and not overtime. Tonight, Vikings starters probably play a quarter and a half. Maybe 2 quarters. It depends if the defense allows another mammoth drive of 20-plus plays like they did against Cincinnati. The defense has a little bit to prove tonight. We all heard about how dominant they were against the Cincinnati Bengals in joint practices, but then when it came to game time, they were really unable to translate it. Yes, the Bengals missed a field goal. Yes, the Vikings held them on a fourth and goal. But they didn't really stop their progress until they reached the red zone. Let's see what they can do against a Seahawks team without Jimmy Graham, without Marshawn Lynch, and with an offensive line that is somewhat patchy. And if they can penetrate that offensive line that is still looking for a center since the Max Unger trade, if they penetrate that line, can they contain Russell Wilson? Cue the flashbacks to the wild card game last year. Snap flies over Wilson's head. 20-yard loss is imminent. Captain Munnerlyn fails to contain the pocket. Wilson escapes, connects downfield for 40 yards.
Whoops. Oh, a high snap off his shoulder. And now Wilson just trying to get it away. And wide open, making the catch is Tyler Lockett.
And that was the beginning of the end in the wild card game. Can the Vikings contain Russell Wilson? That's a big talker tonight, I think. The Seahawks are still explosive. Who will be winning the game when the starters exit? I would like to see. Will Laquon Treadwell get any red zone reps? I asked Teddy Bridgewater on Tuesday what kind of a weapon he thinks Treadwell can be at the red zone, and he held his cards pretty close to the vest.
Who knows? You know, it's only the second week of the preseason. And the biggest thing we want to do is get better in all phases of the game. So we know that we want to get better in the red zone. We want to be better on third downs. And this week, you know, there are different things that may come up. So we just want to get better overall. You know, hopefully Treadwell can contribute to us getting better.
So what else am I watching for tonight? I want to see the Vikings' third-year players prove something to me. In the 2014 draft, the Vikings landed some high-end talent. They got a game-changing linebacker in Anthony Barr. They got who they believe is a franchise quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. They got a lightning-fast backup running back in Jerick McKinnon. But beyond that, the only peripheral draft pick that's made an impact is Shamar Stephen. There are a lot of third-year players in danger of losing their jobs for the Minnesota Vikings unless they have a rapid-fire ascent and the back end of the preseason. Scott Crichton, the former Oregon State Beaver, a third-round pick, was great at creating fumbles in college. The Vikings liked his strength. But through 2 years, Crichton was unable to move the meter. Now they've tried to move him inside to see what he can do where the Vikings are already very deep. Crichton is probably on the outs. That's a third-round pick by the boards. Fifth-round pick, David Yankee, already gone, having really made no impact in Minnesota. 2 years unsuccessful, and he was picked up by Carolina last offseason. Antone Exum, sixth-round pick, safety. We discussed him with Sage in Wednesday's episode, how he has not been reliable, and he's had opportunities. But in those opportunities, he has either proved to be too reckless on the back end or too injury-prone. It was actually last year against Seattle when Exum got a chance to start. He broke a rib in that game and never returned to the season. Sixth-round pick Kendall James never made the team his first year. Brandon Watts, seventh-round pick, linebacker. There were thoughts that maybe he could be the next Audie Cole, who could stick around, play a little bit on the outside, become a key cog to this Vikings linebacker group. Not meant to be with Brandon Watts. Got a sleeve on his calf right now. Just the latest in a long litany of injuries to Watts. He's probably on the outside looking in. And then there's Jabari Price, 2014 seventh round pick as well. Cornerback. Flashed at times in camp this season. Received rave reviews from his peers, including Xavier Rhodes. Jabari Price has talent, but like Exum, he may not be consistent enough. He's had some incidents in camp. Got in a fight with Laquon Treadwell. Hey, when you're a seventh-round pick, you don't beat up the first-round pick. Rule of thumb. When Price makes mistakes, they are on a big scale. And you can't have that in the secondary, not in Mike Zimmer's secondary. He also got on the team's bad side with a DUI in his first year. Negative. Jabari Price would need to benefit either from an injury or a very generous 53-man roster construction that includes seven cornerbacks. They probably keep six, and he is in all likelihood number seven. The 2014 draft class. Great at the top, but going down the list has not been all that impactful for the Minnesota Vikings. And they've been a good drafting team, but I don't think they're going to hit on as many of those late round picks, sans Stephen, as they did in 2015. It's the Locked On Vikings podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Sam Ekstrom at Sam Ekstrom. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating if you would. And maybe a comment or two. We'll have Sage Rosenfels up bright and early tomorrow, hopefully with his coffee in hand, after a late Thursday night game. Seattle and Minnesota tonight over by Puget Sound. Last time the Vikings had a game this late, it was Monday night last year. Remember that, against San Francisco? We stayed up till 12:30 a.m. to watch the Vikings get romped in the season opener. Talk about a momentum killer. Let me give you one last thing to watch for tonight. The right tackle battle, which we got conflicting reports about this week, or so it seemed. Norv Turner made it sound like this contest was up for grabs, which is disconcerting to Vikings fans. Andre Smith was supposed to be the shoe-in right tackle once Phil Loadholt retired. But suddenly TJ Clemmings, the second-year tackle, who was going to move to the left side, then Loadholt retired, now he's back to the right side competing with the veteran Smith. And Clemmings is either making headway or Smith is shooting himself in the foot. Watch this battle. Norv Turner made it sound like it was up for grabs. Mike Zimmer, on the other hand, when probed, said, yeah, Andre Smith wasn't great, but neither was TJ Clemmings necessarily.
Clemmings wasn't he wasn't going to Hall of Fame the other day either.
That's a great quote. Zimmer occasionally pulls out some one-liners that just make you crack up. Watch that battle and be careful in your quick trigger evaluation, because if you see the defensive end racing by the tackle and getting past them on the edge, look how far they're moving upfield, though. Because against Cincinnati, Khalil, Smith, et al. Were willing to let the Bengals' defensive ends run 12 yards upfield and turn the corner, because Teddy Bridgewater would step up in the pocket and have room to navigate. That's intentional. The goal for a defensive end is to reach the level of the quarterback and then move inward to collapse the pocket. If they are loping wide and turning the corner behind the quarterback, that's an intentional blocking strategy. Clemmings and Smith. Smith's still probably the leader in the clubhouse. But TJ Clemmings making a bid And if he could win this job clean and clear, good for TJ Clemmings, because he's the future, and Smith is more or less a stopgap. It's the Thursday edition, Locked On Vikings. If you still got some time today, go check out our growing network of Locked On podcasts, started by David Locke. He hosts Locked On Jazz, 24 other NBA podcasts, however, including Locked On Timberwolves, which begins soon with Alan Horton and Jim Peterson. For now, this is Sam Ekstrom on Locked On Vikings. Sage Rosenfels back with us tomorrow to review the game tonight. Enjoy watching, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.